Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Tonight we got them, Goldie the Sulk and JC.
The disgusting flag.
And it starts right now.
Welcome back to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers by writers who hate writing. Got some bad news from one of our little birdies out there in the writer's world.
Oh,
couple
no.
things. One funny, one bad. First of all, we referenced last week in our show with Andrew Goldberg, which we had a great time talking to him, how Seth used to draw sketches of the writers in the room.
Yeah.
And one of the famous ones he drew was an older team of writers who came to us, and Seth drew a picture and called them bone cancer and heart attack.
Yes.
So we got reports.
Younger than we are now.
We got reports from out there in the world that they are alive and well.
Whew.
And that here's the kicker. Bone cancer beat cancer. And heart attack, had a heart attack last year and lived through it.
Oh my God.
So the sketch was correct.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah, but, like you wonder, does Seth have a psychic power now with these sketches to predict? It's like, sketch my future, boss.
First joke of the day.
If anyone has the power to do that, it's Seth.
This sketch is your destiny.
Yep.
It's like a horrible 80s movie.
I know. Well, mine was me smoking pot in a Red Sox shirt, so we got that way wrong. but anyway, we're happy to report that bone cancer and heart
Yay.
Attack are both alive and unwell. The other piece of information that really is busting our tires out here on the highway is that apparently this big plan we had to reboot The Firm as a TV show has already happened. Happened
what?
Like a dozen years ago, and starred this actor named Josh Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Who you may or may not remember. He looked like Paul Newman almost exactly.
Kinda.
And somehow his career just like didn't quite. He does the Home Depot voiceovers.
He's mean. I mean, that's
but yeah. So I feel like Goldie is our Firm show shot.
No, first of all, I mean, it was clear we were talking about doing it animated.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Now that I think back on it, that was
quite. Oh my
quite
God. Clear. Like, we were obviously saying that this is an animated take on The Firm, like
yes.
in the sort of style of the new Spider-Man movies.
Oh my God. 4 years
you know, it's in
production
the Firmiverse,
for each
and like the cases, they have different outcomes in the multiverse.
Right.
And then the judges get blown around the different
wow.
multiverses.
I
this
love
was
that.
Obviously what we were saying.
We can have an episode entitled Witch Mitch.
Ooh.
All
right.
No, I think we can I mean in all seriousness, it's like there were Barbie animated movies before the Barbie movie. I think we just pretend that didn't happen. They did it wrong. Obviously like
yeah,
we would inject this L.A. Law like funny tone into the darkness of it. It would
yeah.
be different tonally. It would be a different thing.
Okay,
we'd
all
make
right.
it work.
Well, all
It'd
right,
be
good.
Funny.
Good.
Did you guys notice that they've tried to reboot almost every show already?
Yeah. I know. We're out of ideas. Don't tell the AMPTP that we're completely out of ideas. Don't let anyone know.
They may need, though.
I know. Right. They may need AI just to come up with more ideas.
I'm cutting that.
Don't cut it. Leave it in. God,
I mean, they're the ones who hire us, so it's kind of their fault. We're like an organism that, like, two codependent animals, like that hippo and the friggin' bird that cleans its teeth.
Oh yeah,
pull back the veil, we're not really. It's like more like two animals that just throw feces at each other all day, and, like, somehow have convinced themselves that that's necessary for the food chain.
Yeah. Maybe we just shouldn't have show business anymore.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Has anyone proposed that? Like, no, going in the room and going, like, you know, as if you were going into marriage counseling or something, and just going, like, what do we need show business? Like, what are we doing? Just, yeah. There's enough movies if people want to watch movies. Like, why?
Yeah, go back. Watch Casablanca.
There's enough TV. Like, just, why don't we just take, I don't know, 20 years off?
We can go and watch Gone with the Wind.
Yeah,
you too, Gone with the Wind. Yeah, they revealed last week they hadn't watched that. Very offensive to me and Unforgiven, JC. You are unforgiven for not watching Unforgiven.
Let me guess. They left with the wind?
No spoilers. I'm not giving it away. Vis-a-vis the wind, what happens?
And Ted Cruz share a favorite movie, so congrats.
Is that true?
Is that his favorite?
I mean, when Trump said that they should make movies like Gone with the Wind, and then all those, like, drones lined up and said, like, yeah, that's what they should be doing, and then it was the number one movie on Apple Movies. It should be.
I wish.
And then Seth Rogen tweeted at him, everyone who worked on that movie would hate you. That's the best tweet ever.
That's a great tweet. That's a very Goldie sentiment. Well, speaking of getting rid of show business, it would really pave the way for more sports, which we're in the zone now. There's no turning back. This NFL season is at our doorstep, and I'm pretty excited. You know, I think, the Pats are being overlooked, so I'm excited to get into it. Goldie, are you excited for the Pats, who is your hometown team?
No, I've disowned them, as we've talked about on this podcast, because of Belichick's fawning letter to Trump.
It wasn't fawning.
It was fawning.
It was slightly fawning.
It was totally fawning. But so it's football is different when you don't really have a team, and you realize, like, I've been looking for a team. I want to latch on to a team, but then you realize every team is so fatally flawed that there's no one's worth rooting for in this whole sport. It's like what I just said about show business. Like, they shouldn't have football. Like,
oh, no. We're getting rid of that,
but
too.
But I like football, but there's nothing good about it. Like, people get mortally wounded on the field. The fans are terrible.
Yes.
Like, every fan base is awful. Every owner is totally unlikable.
And corrupt. Right.
Almost every coach is a moron.
Belichick isn't.
He's not a moron, but he's an asshole. They're assholes and morons. And it's like, what are we doing? On the other hand, it's just something to do that can pass a whole day that no one questions.
That's true. Right. Well, what about your beloved Chadges? I thought you were all in on the LA Chadges.
Not this season?
It's the Chargers. It's like a dick that won't get hard.
Oh my God.
Telling you how hard it's going to get. It's like, that's not a hard dick. They're nothing. Like,
it's like
San
a dick
Diego that liked them. They left. Like, they're not. I've never seen anyone wearing a Chargers shirt here.
It's like a dick that you know would be big if it was hard, but it never gets hard.
No, it's so nothing.
Oh, damn.
I like Justin Herbert in theory.
JC, chime in here.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm like Googling.
You're Googling hard dicks? Come on, JC.
That's what maybe the show Hard Knocks should be called.
Oh, hard dicks.
Like, I just don't know what you're rooting for with the Chargers. It's like a restaurant that should work.
Yeah.
On paper, like, you go, it's like these other good restaurants. And then you go, well, there's not really parking.
Only French fries. Well, that sounds okay.
Yeah.
They fuck it up.
Yeah. So I know it's not going to be the Chargers for me. It's like I root against teams passionately more than I root for anything, yes. And that keeps me in.
Let's just root against the Jets. We can bond.
Hate
on
the
that.
Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, there
let's
you
bond
go.
Over
there's
that.
Some passion. We could,
because I'm so excited to see how. They're
oh, Rodgers is
going
to be terrible. I hate Aaron Rodgers.
I know. He also looks like he weighs about 108 pounds.
He looks like he was shipwrecked.
Yes.
Like his eyes look what so old.
Sunken.
Yes. Yeah. What happened, you think? Yeah.
I mean, it's like he witnessed four murders 10 years ago, and it's been haunting him.
Never got over it.
Yeah.
But anyway, football, and I tweeted this years ago, like a giant blowjob from space. It's back. Like I love the season, and we're about to get into it. And I'm going to be rooting for the Pats. I'll certainly be rooting against the Jets with you.
Wait, who's so, the team that Hard Knocks is covering this season?
The Jets.
Oh.
The Jets. Yeah, so you get to see like into their world.
I mean, I'm just going to make
Goldie has a
10-minute
rant about them.
They're going to be terrible.
Yes.
Like their coach, when he opened the preseason on Hard Knocks with this speech about, like, do you know there's only one bird with the guts to attack an eagle? And you just kind of go, oh, this is already, if he lands this parable, maybe.
He didn't.
And it just, in the analogy, you thought the Jets would be the eagle, but it turned out the Jets were the crow?
No, the Jets were the eagle, but that's made it even worse because he said the crows attack the eagles, and then what the eagle does is it flies so high that the crow passes out and then the crows fall off them.
Okay.
And he said, like, we're first of all, it's a
now go
a,
get him,
right?
What?
I know. It's
what,
such
because
a,
of the eagle or the
it's such a blunder in an opening speech to a league that has a team called the Eagles.
That's what I
to
was...
say, like, we're Eagles. It's like, no, you're not. They're in Philadelphia, and they're way better than you are. Oh, they were in the fucking Super Bowl.
Like, wouldn't you just, I mean, if it were me, and I wish they, first of all, I could do a great Salah impression. I would love to come in and, for comedy, do Salah to the team, because I kind of look like him, unfortunately.
Well, I can, some similarities. Yeah.
But, like my approach, because I've watched enough Hard Knocks and enough football documentaries, like, what Saul is trying to do is he's trying to relate, you know, and be this purveyor of obscure, in a football sense, smart quote information, because everyone's so dumb.
Yep.
But you go like, this is not even, but I like the variation better where the person just comes in, there's like silence and they're just looking mean and they say like, unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Yes.
We have a standard as men, you know, and like,
yeah. Wow, yeah.
And just puts everyone back in their
way
seat.
Better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way better.
I'm riveted.
And Goldie, give us a little bit on the Jets motto.
All gas, no brakes.
Very irresponsible.
Oh God.
You just go like, never think. Never evaluate what you're doing and change at all. In a game that's been described as chess on grass, move every piece forward all the time. And by the way, since we've put it out there, the other teams know we're doing this.
Yes.
And they will be adapting.
Yep.
Is that like just blitz, blitz, blitz? Is that kind of
it's
their whole
just,
thing?
It's just their sort of motivational slogan, like, we're just charging forward and we're not stopping for anyone. But Goldie's right. It's so misguided in the world of football. It's like, you have, by the way, halftime is for pumping the brakes and making adjustments. And we go back to, you know, Donald Trump's best friend, Bill Belichick. Nobody's better in football at halftime adjustments than Bill Belichick and, of course, Coach Taylor from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
Yes.
But all gas, no brakes is such a misguided motto. Yeah. It is so it's
like,
meant
imagine
to sound
you
tough,
walk in that building and every wall says all gas, no brakes. You're like, I have to fucking work here.
I know. I'm putting that up in the writer's room. I'm putting
it's
it up.
So uninspiring.
You tap it every time you walk out.
Yeah. If we ever
be a moron.
at 110% be a moron.
How many episodes are we in? Should I start watching?
Three.
There's only four.
And,
yeah. and the finale's tonight.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go back and watch them. It'll be one evening of your life. You can get through it.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, speaking of all gas, no brakes, let's get into our version of that. Let's get in to Johnny Jokes.
Whoa, from Hollywood, where the eagles fly so high that the crows die, here's Jenny!
Woo! Oh, that was a nice poem, a nice poem you created there. Eagles fly so high, the crows die. All right, well, some seasonal humor here. Well, as autumn approaches, the debate around seasonal time change roars on, with opponents saying we should remain in daylight savings time year-round. But it remains for now, so remember, spring forward, Biden back. Stealing from Goldie there.
There we go. Taking Goldie's inspiration.
Money and don't train. Worry, I will be back in that.
And maybe you heard about this, been hearing about this summer. The city of Boston has had an incredibly wet summer with 8 extra inches of rainfall. And while 8 inches sounds like a lot, it should be noted that Boston measures from the taint.
Oh, God.
Measures from the taint. Moving quickly to the next joke, a bolt of lightning struck the famous clock tower in Mecca, Saudi Arabia, last week, causing extensive damage. It wasn't all bad news, however, as the lightning helped Doc Hussein send Marty McAmad back to the future. And I googled those surnames.
I wish I got that. I mean, I get it.
That's good.
Have you never seen
Back to the Future either?
I saw it in the theater. I liked it. I left. That was the end of it for me. Wow. I never thought about it again. It was just a cool movie.
I'm going to say this on the podcast that it might be the best movie ever, Back to the Future. Maybe.
I love that movie.
Me
but
too.
I don't know if I'd say it was the best ever, but I would
watch
it. If it's
it might
on,
be.
I'll
what,
watch it.
What are you going to watch, Gone with the Wind or Back to the Future?
Back to the Future, yeah, great, easily.
Great movie. A kid tries to fuck his mom.
He tries not to.
He tries not to. That's the key. Well, if he was trying to.
Either way, a mom tries to fuck her freeborn son.
There you go.
Tonight on Turner Classic Movies.
Hey, I'm buying the popcorn. All right, and finally for me. You may have heard this, JC, get your finger ready. Longtime Price is Right host Bob Barker passed away last week at the age of 99.
He gone!
Yeah, he gone. A memorial service will be open to the public if they can guess the start time without going over.
Yeah.
Johnny too.
I'm going to bury you in quantity.
Do it.
So none of these are good. Well... According to a new weather forecast, Washington, D.C. is headed for an early fall. And coincidentally, that's today's first item on President Biden's schedule.
Yeah, I knew it. I stole from you.
That was obvious where it was going. The Florida coast is threatened as tropical storm Idalia has intensified, transitioning into a hurricane. Governor Ron DeSantis urges citizens not to evacuate, saying it was born a storm, so it's just a storm, no matter what anyone says.
Great.
Okay. In France, Elton John fell down a flight of stairs, causing Bernie Taupin to scream, ow, 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 ow.
Nice. Oh, short and sweet.
Yeah. Nordstrom's in San Francisco has closed after 35 years due to crime and homelessness.
Wow.
The move leaves thousands of citizens of that city wondering where they'll steal their clothes.
Right.
A lot of theft. And I got two more, like I said.
Okay,
Two more. You're giving me a two more.
Bob Barker died at 99 this week, and
he gone!
Per his last wishes, he passed away peacefully surrounded by family and ball-less dogs. And I'll end on a Norm. Yeah. This is a Norm from back when Norm was doing Update. Not a Norm today. This is a Norm joke from then.
Got it. Copy that.
A doctor in Sweden has invented a suicide machine. Or as O.J. Simpson calls it, a murder machine.
Oh, we got
you just put
that.
Someone else in the machine. It's not you.
I love it. Swinging after the bell. I love it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, folks, listeners, friends, we are really excited today. You know, a lot of times on the show, we'll talk to other schlubby writers, you know, just kind of like us, and it's all woe is me, and doesn't everything suck? But today we have a legitimate star on the podcast, and for the last year, we've been lucky enough to be working with this gentleman at Family Guy. It's been a privilege, obviously. You know him from Saturday Night Live, from touring the country, from many movies. He's an amazing comedian, an impressionist, an actor. Folks, Jay Farrow is here with us. Woo! Jay, welcome.
Hello, hello. So depending contingent on who you are, you might know me from your mother's bedroom. Sorry about that. Just contingent on who the person is, you know. Look, I'm 35 now, so you know I'm getting to that. You know, it's I'm mother loving. You understand?
Exactly.
Like,
that's true.
I love that as a first bit. It's like we opened the gates and the bowl was just ready. Just bucking and knocking clowns out of the way.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it's safe to say that's not where I know you from.
Hey man, I gotta tell y'all something, man. Personally, I feel failed as a macho man because I was forced to sleep in one room with the door closed because I've been getting terrorized by mosquitoes since 12:30 a.m. last night in New York City. I've been, you know how you hear them fly by your ear?
Yes.
Like, it did it twice. So I was in my bedroom comfortable, right? I was about to go to sleep and the little bits came out. And that's what it is, because it ain't the male mosquitoes that bite you, it's the females. They need your blood for the pregnancy. I would personally like to say I'm sorry for being crass, but fuck them kids, okay? Let's forget your kids, all of them. I hope that you get punched in your little mosquito stomach and they all fall out. That's what I hope. I don't like what's happening. So I took all of the covers. I said, boom. All right, I'm going to sleep in the living room because it's in the master bedroom. I'm going to do that. So I get all the covers out. I get on the pullout sofa. I got real cozy. Again, I hear it. I said, okay. Let me run back in the room real quick. I ran back in the room real quick, shut the door. I got my room back. But it was because I held out like a bitch and didn't kill it like I should have killed it. And I promise you, this today, I'm bucking up. I'm Gerard Butler in that thing. I'm going to go in there. It's this is Sparta. I'm going to kick it, and it's going to be a footprint and some blood from somebody else on the wall. I had to rebuke the mosquito in the name of Jesus. I rebuked it. I said, you will not bite me, Satan. You will not. You can't bite me without asking. That's not consensual. That is called assault. It is assaulting people. We need to get rid of these mosquitoes. So I am still in my bedroom. I haven't eaten breakfast. I've stayed in here. And
hiding.
When I finally decide to venture out, we going to get it done.
Okay. Yes. We're gonna get it done. All right. Yes. All right. Oh, my God. Well, we can promise you a few more minutes of safety locked in here. But also, I think this is another headline coming out of this talk is apparently you're pro-choice when it comes to mosquitoes. You don't care about the mosquito kids.
I don't. I really have my mantra, fuck them kids. I don't like I don't know why more of them.
Jay Farrow, 2028, fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids. Hey,
you might go far.
We might. Hey, I'm 35. I can legally run the country. So in 4 years, I'm going to be more. Oh, well, 5 years, I'll be more ready at 40. Hey.
I love it. Oh, my God. We broke that
story.
You
might be able to win with your Obama impression. Like,
yes.
You
could win. Yes.
All right. It's like he's almost the same guy. Like him.
I mean, he's a little darker, but I mean, he still gets it done. He's just that guy. What's insane is I have to take off one of my headphones. So I'll make sure I'm doing it good because sometimes I don't know. Sometimes it'll be half-assed. I mean, Barack doesn't think so, but you know, he's like, if you want to run the country too, then you can take the job. I'm like, I've seen your hair. You've gone back to Cisco in 4 years. He got the silver back on top of his head. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
Being president.
That is stressful. That job ages you, clearly. And it's amazing you started your first sentence there where you said, I'm a little bit darker, but I don't know if that matters. That's all that matters to the American voters. That's the thing that, you know, Barack skated in because he looked just perfect. That's just what the American voters wanted.
He was the correct shade. He was the safe shade. They were like, oh, okay. Yeah. They wouldn't have put Wesley Snipes in there. They're not going to do that. They're not gonna put what is old boy from there's so many dark actors. Oh God, they're not gonna put Damson Idris from Snowfall in there. Well, he's too young anyway. He ain't gonna do it. But you know they'll definitely put a Lionel Richie up in there. Let's be honest,
God.
Okay?
Yes,
a Lionel, a Prince, a Terrence Howard. They have no problem. Those are safe ones. They feel safe. You're the lighter the berry, the safer the juice. That's what they say.
You're not going to get any pitches from us on this topic. you're just like, who else are the dark actors? I'm like, you'll get there.
They're like, we thought a couple of them, but we weren't going to say it.
Yeah, no, Wesley Snipes is perfect. And you said, I'm glad you said it. That's so funny. Yeah, well, of course, we all remember just being dazzled by your Obama on SNL. And that was just such a great, what a great era in general, just for this country. It seemed like there was such a genuine excitement when Barack was elected first time. And so then, you know, sometimes on SNL, when somebody's doing a president, there's this feeling in the SNL audience like, well, we don't really like this president, so we like that they're making fun of him. But with Barack in New York, especially, to do a great Barack impression on SNL during that era must have just been like, you're the rock star of this great concert.
Yeah, because there's no, they wouldn't like lampoon him for real, for real.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing he could literally do no wrong. So even I even remember Lord telling me, you know, just to play him presidential. I had this character called Chalk Obama, which was Barack's subconscious. And I was doing that. I came up with that in 2009. And I was like, yo, we need to like everything that he wants to say that he ain't getting a chance to say.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, but then they were like, "Nah, well, we kind of did the Rock Obama." I was like, "Okay, but this is a bit different. This isn't like just him with Dwayne Johnson, Road Rage. Right, this is like, right. This is Roid Rage. I'm sorry. This is just, you know, this is just like his subconscious, but you know, we ultimately didn't move on it. And then I remember I saw Key and Peele and I was like,
exactly.
God. Like, we missed it. Yeah. We missed it. However, they did a brilliant job, but me on the show, having fun with it, man, it was definitely crazy to play, and it was an honor to play. And then, you know, to be able to switch that to real life and actually, you know, being friendly with the real Obama, that was kind of cool for me too. Like,
kind of,
you
know, that's amazing.
I mean, you know, hey, I was at that last party in the White House where all the celebrities were leaving all those Trump, the little Trump messages. Like, I was there that night. I wish I could. I didn't know. I saw a group of them going upstairs. I was like, yo, what the hell are y'all doing? And like, a little bit, I wanted to be like, I want to follow them. But then I was like, yo, I'm the darkest one in this bunch. I can't just like venture out to random parts of this man's house. Right. I'm not going to do that. Listen, John Legend, y'all go ahead. You're good.
you're back on that topic. I love it.
You're back. I'm just saying. Call back, baby.
That's great. But so now I want to go back to something you mentioned. So when you have this, and first of all, Chalk Obama is just, that's a hilarious name.
Amazing.
And now I'm guessing, because Goldie and I both have a limited amount of SNL experience as well, so I'm guessing that was something that you put in and was actually probably read at table there, the Chalk Obama. So then actually write out a sketch for yourself or an update feature and perform it at table there at SNL?
Actually, that's one of the characters, you know, because, I mean, you know, and shout out to him. I love him. He's freaking great. Fred Armisen was on the show at the time.
Yeah.
And it was really the Barack sketches that I proposed to do earlier, you know, they always ended up not going because, you know, Fred, I talked to Fred and, you know, a couple of times, you know, he was like, he was just saying that, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for it. I don't know yet, you know, which was cool. You know, that was his character that he was playing. Yeah. So it never, you know, and I love that. I love that he was transparent with me with that. Right. And it even made it a bigger a send off in 2012 while he was leaving the show. And then we did the whole me first being doing Barack, and then he was there and he kind of passed and shook my hand and everything. Right. Kristen Wiig texted me too. So, oh, wow. You know, there was never any I got stunted before I got a chance to do it. I didn't even get a chance to put that character out.
I gotcha. Yeah. Wow, that is a really interesting behind the scenes look at how a character can pass hands like that, because you never really think about that.
Yeah. But all respect, I'm a kid. I'm not trying to violate anybody. I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to do well on the show. Yeah. So I'm not trying to ruffle anybody's feathers. You know, it's fun.
You were hilarious on the show, and you were incredibly young when you got started. Were you like 21 or 22? You were very
22,
young.
22 when I got that show. So
I mean, that's just insane.
Well, that's so scary.
And a dream come true. Now something that, and I've talked to you before about this, so I think you know how much I love this character was, and it blew me away. It's in my top five, like SNL things. It's your attention teachers and students. Can you just tell me a little bit about like where that came from?
Well, it's actually me lampooning my, my real principal from, in Indian River High School. And I got the idea from the heavy breath and the announcements, because he got on the intercom. He got on the intercom during 9/11. And, you know, I'm in Virginia. And, you know, just heard that the World Trade Centers he got on that intercom, and it was really sad, but it was funny to me. It was funny as I don't know what, because he was like, I'll teach the teachers the students. I've just caught word that the World Trade Centers in New York City have just been bombed. What we're going to do is we're going to have a moment of silence for all the students that were affected. So please, if everybody just have a moment of silence with me. Everybody just pray 1 second. Just And then he gets on the intercom, and then he goes, it's no moment of silence. He's breathing through the whole thing. Like, full obscene phone call, bro. Like, he's... Jesus. Lord have mercy, I can't believe this happened. Oh, help the babies, help the babies, help the babies, help the babies, help the babies. And I'm listening, I'm hearing that. I'm trying to be sad, but I'm like, yo, is anybody else hearing this man breathe hard as a DC character? Does anybody hear this? He's just breathing hard. So I kept that in my head. And how many years later was it? It was like 8 years. Yeah, 8 years later, I went to Brian Tucker and I said, I got this character based off my principal. And I think he goes up, he does announcement, he breathes really hard. And he got the vibe about the old school, just an old school principal who really cares about the students. And we created that. And then they got on the show and they loved it, man.
That's so awesome.
Thank you. That's one of the ones that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had no idea of the 9/11 genesis of that, which is, it just makes the story even better. And of course, as you probably know, we have a great 9/11 connection where Seth MacFarlane was not allowed on that plane, and therefore we all have jobs. So yeah.
Yes, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, to me, man, it's so insane how one small move in your day can either be the end of you or the best of you. It's crazy. It's so intricate. Your life is so intricate. So when we get mad about being in traffic or whatever, you never know, man. You could have been that could have been God's way of holding you back from getting into something. I think about that all the time.
I see it differently. I think Seth would have prevented 9/11.
What? How? Like, you would have got up and done.
You know, Seth, he would have gotten up. He wouldn't have let it stand.
Yeah, the fists would have been flying. That's a great take. Oh my god. All right, so we sort of jumped right into SNL there, but I wanted to go back a little bit. So you grew up in Virginia, and you said you know you were there through high school. And I read online that you started doing impressions when you were like 5 or 6 years old. So do you remember what first kind of got you into I want to imitate that voice?
It was I just wanted to impress the girls when I was six. I'm serious. Like,
it's so cute.
I wanted to impress. It was this cute joint. I was on it. Look, girls never had cooties. I was never like, ew, nah. I was like, hey, what's up? How you doing, girl? I was watching Disney, and of course, I loved Aladdin. Was one of my favorite movies, and I kept watching. I kept hearing this voice, man. That was so weird, and I loved it. It was Gilbert Gottfried doing Iago off of Aladdin. Yes. And I just started impersonating them. And I remember I went back to school, and the girl Sarah, she was like, oh my god, you do such a good Iago. Like, what? I was like, yeah. I said Sarah, gotcha, bitch. I gotcha. You know. And from that moment on, man, I just kept adding to my repertoire. I would do Forrest Gump and Sally Field. I would do Ed and Eddie. I would do Bugs Bunny. I would do all the Looney Tunes, and then and then it was Dexter's Lab, and then after Dexter's Lab and Johnny Bravo and all of that, then it was your Steve Irwin's and Eddie Murphy's, and all of it just started building. And now, mind you, there was a drought. It was a drought after that. For girls, though, I didn't, you know, it only worked on Sarah. It didn't work on the rest of them, you know.
Irwin wasn't pulling in on high school tail.
I never would have predicted that would be the one that wouldn't get me the results that I wanted.
Rope them in.
And when you were younger doing those voices, would you improvise what they would say, or were you reciting lines that you remembered?
I would improvise. I would go off the dome with stuff that would say, like, I did this bit back in the day, and I remember I had this Italian neighbor, the Santoros. I remember them. They owned like an oil company or something like that. Wow. They were assholes anyway. I love them, but they were a little assholes. They knew they were assholes, yeah. But they were cool. But I would do Ed and Eddie. I would do Jimmy and Sarah having sex. That was the bit. It was Jimmy and Sarah, and Jimmy was such a. He was such a beta male, like he was so timid that it made it funny. I can't, damn, I'm trying to do it right now, but my voice is on the fritz. But I would have Sarah taking advantage of Jimmy, essentially. Jimmy, Sarah. It was just, and the kids, John Santoro, he would laugh his ass off. I was like, yo, if I can make that Italian kid laugh, I can make the world laugh because they don't laugh. You Italian. They got senses of humor.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
That is amazing.
It sounds addicting.
What's that, Jason?
It sounds addicting. Like to when you make someone laugh, it's like, I want to do that again. I want to keep making that person who's impossible to break through to. I want to make them laugh again and again, which I can see is why you kept going further.
Yeah, yep. we gotta get you in front of Bill Belichick. See if you can make him laugh. That would be a battle of wills.
I'd have to do my Tom Brady. I'd have to pull out my Tom Brady impression. Maybe he would like it then.
Do you have one?
Look, I knew it was coming. I've got half a Tom Brady. I've got half a Tom Brady impersonation. He's like, Tom Brady's got that thing where it's like, he's got hit in the head too many times. Like, I'm working on it. It's not mastered. It's 70% there. I'm still working.
I hear it getting there. I hear it. Yeah.
I hear
the smashed in the head quality.
I see the mouth architecture. Yeah. He does something with his mouth. It's a little tight or something that I'm seeing you kind of do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah. I'm working on him, but you know, he's got seven. What, he got six rings or seven? He's got seven, right?
Seven.
He doesn't need me in person. He doesn't need any more
we
exposure.
We do. We need it. Well,
so what, when you're growing up, okay, and you start, you know, realizing at a young age that you can make people laugh with your bits and impersonations, what kind of stuff was making you laugh? Were you listening to comedy albums? Were you watching TV at a young age that really made you laugh? Can you think of stuff that got you into it?
Like always, like Looney Tune, Outlandish those shows would always make me laugh. But I would listen to prank calls like Ricky Smiley. I was heavy listening to Ricky Smiley and his prank calls. And he would do characters. And like, I like that. So I would impersonate those characters in school. I would be impersonating the teachers. And then I think a lot of it did start in church for me because, you know, I'm in church. There's so many different characters that you don't understand what's wrong with them, but you watching them, you know, something's up, but as a kid, you're innocent. So you're just looking and there was this lady in my church and she had a crippling addiction. I didn't know that, but she would do this with her head. And I was like, yo, what the hell? So you would turn over and you would look at me in church and I just started doing it. And I remember one time it was this brother. He has like this, his nose was really flat. And me and my homeboy, Derek, we would look back and forth like flash looks. And we'd both be looking at each other doing this. And then one time he looked at us, he looked and he was like, I see you motherfuckers. Like he did that. And I stopped for 1 second and then I just put my finger back on my nose and looked at it. It's like, I was joking. It was a kid. It was this kid named Demetrius in my church. And his father was like 40. He was like 45. And his father had a job at KFC. And this kid came up. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's nothing wrong with having a job at KFC. But as a kid, you're like, wait a minute, your dad works at KFC and you're proud of that? Like, he was so happy. He's like, my dad works at KFC. We get free chicken all the time. He was smiling. And I was like, bro, you shouldn't be happy about it. You should be happy about the chicken, but your dad working at KFC, he's not doing good, my G. He's doing bad. You need to pray. You need to ask Jesus to bless that thing because obviously he ain't where he needs to be, you know? So it would be poking fun of shit like that and developing that, listening to prank calls, watching Eddie Murphy movies like Golden Child and all of that, because I saw his stand-ups later in life. I saw that when I was like 16, 17, I saw his stand-up. Yeah. But before, it was just all Eddie Murphy movies. And I was like, yeah, I want to do that.
Well, the funny thing is you have done that, which is crazy. And yes, I mean, and Goldie and I and JC have all discussed this before, but I think Eddie Murphy's kind of hit hard when we were like 11, 12, 13, and everybody had the cassettes, and it was just like gold. When
Ice Cream Man was like the first thing where I was just like, I couldn't even talk. It was like being hit by lightning or something. You're like, what just happened to me? Like, I just lost 3 minutes.
Yeah. When he drops the ice cream, it's on the floor. He's looking down, and then the kids are like, "You dropped your ice cream!" And then he looks at it for 2 seconds, looks up, picks it up, goes, kisses it, and then puts it. I got it. I was like, "Yo, that's so funny because we didn't give two shits. We didn't care. We were kids. Yo, if I had a bomb pop and I paid $1.25 for that, yo son, if that falls in the gutter, guess what? I'm gonna eat the bomb pop in some gutter. That's what's gonna happen. I'm not wasting this. I was a fat kid too. Get out of here. A fat kid wasting ice cream."
Well, it's not gonna happen. Never.
Yeah.
And I remember when Raw came out. Okay, so I think I was like 12 or 13 when Raw came out, and so I was too young to see it in the theater. But we had a I had a cool friend whose mom said that she would buy the tickets for us because she was an adult, and so we went to this theater outside of Boston where I grew up, and there was an old white-haired white guy in the ticket booth. And so the mom is buying the two tickets, and the guy knows what's going on. And he just says to her as he's tearing it, he's like, "You're really letting them to go see that filth?" I'll never forget that. It was such a great like Boston area thing. Like, they're just going to dismiss. Yeah. Eddie Murphy's just filth. That's what it is.
After all the things that have been said out of Boston people's mouths, Eddie Murphy was too far. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. Totally. Right. He's the problem. He's what's making Boston a worse place.
You gotta fucking see that fucking filth, that fucking Eddie Murphy, that fucking filth. Yeah, he's fucking. I can't. He's just fucking filthy. He's like an asshole. He's fucking filthy. I fucking hate him. It's like that Bill Cosby bit that he does in there. You cannot say filth, throwing filth in front of people. That's, I don't know what the hell you talking about. I ain't never said no filth, long filth. I'm offended that you called. Fuck you. What I mean, you cannot say fuck in front of people. And I was mad. That was my whole bit. That was my whole bit. Like, I just came out and said, "Hey, filth, lard, filth, pussy, fuck, shit, suck my dick, good night. Suck my dick." I got some jokes between there. You can't have just a cursed show. Ain't nobody gonna like that shit.
I love it. Even on a podcast, you're doing the Eddie finger, you're doing the Eddie hand. Like, it's such a signal. It's like, this is Eddie, and here's his sign language. It's so great.
He's always waiting for some. Wait a second. I'm supposed to have my Starbucks about 5 minutes ago. I've been waiting here. For my Starbucks, and it hasn't come yet. I need it. Oh yes. It's always the wait. He's got the wait fingers. These are the wait fingers.
Amazing. You have so locked in on that. And again, for people who we're 15 years older than you are, and Beverly Hills Cop was a fucking revolution. It was just, I mean, that movie, and I probably watch that movie like once a year, and it's always just awesome. He's so good in that. And what's interesting to me about Eddie Murphy, and, you know, listen, he's a comedy Mount Rushmore for sure, but it felt like he had this energy in the 80s, and it feels like some of that is kind of, and yes, we get older and you lose energy, but it's just like, he doesn't have that same electricity now. He's just like, he's still so funny. Like on the Seinfeld Getting Coffee in Cars with Comedians, he was hilarious. And I'm just he seems to be a little more like reserved now. Like, he doesn't give that out anymore.
Yeah, just because he's a grandfather now. That's why.
He doesn't need to.
They, He's full granddad energy now. He's like, I got my babies had babies and I can chill. So my babies are having babies. You know, it's just all about, now it's about generational wealth. You know, I did enough Shrek movies for these motherfuckers. They're going to be good for the rest of their lives. So I can just chill, smoke, and just have a good time. I think it's like that, right? It's like, I'm chill. Like, I'm just a regular... I'm chilling now. I'm a legend, yeah. But I don't have anything to prove.
That's amazing. Your impersonation of him changes from early Eddie to now
know,
Eddie
it's
too.
Crazy.
It's like you effortlessly slow down this gear in your gearbox for him, and that's fantastic.
I just hope, Alec, I hope that I get a chance to. I hope that they do a biopic and I get a chance to play that man. You know, I know Arsenio Hall fully believes in me. I feel like Eddie is like, you got to prove to me that you can really dive into my cerebral and really become me. But I mean, if anybody could do it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
I'm
going to
pitch
him.
You a bit that could convince him is
okay.
Cosby now calling Eddie Murphy now. You do the first call you just did, and then you fast forward to now. And then there's a recent phone call.
Yeah. Hey, wait, can I do this? Wait, let me see if I can think. See if I can think of this. All right.
On the fly.
Well, you were actually correct. I have to reap what I sowed, and I'm sorry because I literally did filth farm filth to the women, and I got mad at you for talking about it. But really, we are the same motherfucker.
Well, that would be on the fly. On the fly.
Yeah.
Bravo. It was amazing. That's amazing.
The kind of cool tribute to Eddie Murphy. Sorry, I'm writing on the fly. I'm excited now.
The kind of
cool tribute you could do is because he would, you know, famously play the different characters in the movie is you do both sides of the Cosby call in the movie, like, which is like the perfect tribute to him.
Right.
I know. Yeah. He played like 88 characters in half his movies. So why not Jay?
Hey, I had this sketch idea for. If I ever do, you know, it's gonna happen. Whatever happens, when I do a sketch show, because I got really close, I was working with Ellen, we almost had it. But anyway, when I get a chance to do my sketch show, I want to do a sketch of Eddie Murphy performing the exact same material from the 80s, like now. I want to do it, and then to cut to all of the audience faces and just see the shock and the horror from all the shit. Oh my God! He said the F word. You can't say that. And he's just on stage, just laughing like, "Hey man, why this shit ain't working?"
Right. Just have the audience, clutching their pearls, just like, did he just say that he'll come home with AIDS on his lips? That bit. I gotta say, you would never fly today. I could not stop laughing in 1983 at that bit.
He is so homophobic. It is 2025, sir. You should not be talking like this. In a group of transgenders that are just sitting there, just offended. Oh my God. I want to do that. Oh my goodness. It would be so funny.
Your opening, that would be your opening sketch. And it's like, the people who stick with you, you've earned this. You are welcome.
Oh, they better buckle
just ends
up.
With them launching him into space in that Jeff Bezos rocket. It's like, we're just getting rid of him. He's just getting shot to the universe.
Oh, God. So, Jay, I mentioned in your intro that we at Family Guy have been lucky enough to be working with you for the last year. So
absolutely.
Talk a little bit about your relationship with Family Guy over the years and now how it's been for you working there.
Well, first of all, it's been a dream working at Family Guy because, you know, I was such a Family Guy fan when I was growing up. I used to do all the characters. So, and I was obsessed. Stewie drew me in. Peter kept me. Lois turned me on. Chris made me laugh like shit. Like, what the fuck? And then Brian, I was just like, that's Seth right there. That's Seth. That is just Seth all holding 100%. It together. So Man, at first it started with me coming in. Of course, you know, I really appreciate you, Alec. I appreciate Rich. I appreciate y'all reaching out to me for the voice work. At first, it was just me doing Kanye and some Obama stuff. Yep. And then I was in a booth one day, man, and I was freestyling. And I remember Rich was like, hey, man, do you want to come on the show and like maybe you want to write some time for us?
I was recording that session and I said, Jay, just remember, I'm recording this if he forgets this conversation.
That's so wild. See, the connect with all of us on this call right now, that is so wild to me. But literally, I thought Rich was bullshitting. I was like, you for real? He was like, no, I'm real. I'm for real. You want to come? I was like, why not? Yeah. Like, of course. So you all know, luckily I've been able to come in and you know, collaborate with the writers, man, and you know, give jokes and all of that sometimes to get picked. You know how it is. Sometimes they don't. But man, literally to be in that room and bouncing off with the brilliant minds that that shaped that show that I watched and probably kept me from being depressed when I was in school, man, it was just, it's just a joy. It's just a joy now to be on. And dude, I got asked that in 2021. And I think in 2022 is when everything started. And dude, it's been one of the most fun experiences. I've learned a lot. And I love the camaraderie and shit. I hope to keep going. And the fact that I'm really happy because y'all know, like, even right now, I'm not in LA. I'm in New York. I'm gearing up to shoot my special on. I'm gearing up to shoot my special on the 26th. I'm all over the place. So you all have been nice enough to work with my schedule. So you're like, yo, when you get a chance, come in and you know, just be here. And I'm like, that to me. I feel like a lost. I feel like Gary Coleman and Different Strokes. Is that what is?
That's the show.
Yeah. Different. Yo, I feel like an adopted kid, but now who has become family and just. I feel like y'all are family now, man. And literally, Family Guy is family to me. Yeah. And yeah.
Well, we're all very proud of you, Arnold.
Oh, are you Mr. Drummond?
You're settling in very well, Arnold. That's my old white guy impression, but which somehow comes easily to me. But we've also had an amazing time working with you, and of course we work around whatever your schedule is, because here's the rub: you're a fucking star, and we're excited that you're a part of our show. So it's like definitely a mutually beneficial experience. And now I have a follow-up question to this, and maybe you'll be wholly unprepared for it, but now that you've had a certain amount of time in rooms with these different personalities, have you worked out any writer impressions from
I have they're all at 50%. They're all at 50. They're not 100, so I don't even want to embarrass myself by giving you all a product that's not fully seasoned.
You got to focus on out there. Focus on Tom Devaney. He's the one that you're going to crack.
Right, because there's a lot of character going there.
Because he has the teeth together. Wait, JC, play one of his sound clips. We have one of him.
Here. Do we need it?
There he is.
And then there's this one.
There he is.
There he is. I see it's almost.
Yeah,
I gotta get the pitch.
Yeah, you're already close. You're already close. But that's been an awesome experience for everyone. So again, thank you, and we hope you know you stay as long as you want to. So
yes.
Now you mentioned you're getting ready to record a special. Where eventually can we see that special?
Well, you know, we can't work with streaming right now. As far as specials, anything goes. So right now, man, I'm just planning to put it out independently, do the Mark Norman, do the Sam Morril, the, I guess I could say him. I mean, he's a legend, the Louis C.K., the Matt Rife, you know what I mean? So I see the model, I see that it can be done. And I mean, it's a great pocket of material. So, you know, if you got a good product, man, and people consume it, they're going to talk about it and the word's going to spread. So I'm just looking forward to putting it out because I haven't shot one since 2014.
Oh, wow.
It came out 2015, and I'm tired of Showtime trying to push it off like I just came up with all of that shit. Because I'm like, yo, stop playing this shit. This is old now. Come on. What are y'all doing? Yeah. But I feel like the growth as a comedian over the last last 8 years has been crazy because I didn't. The experiences that I've had, man, dude, I almost got. I got wrongfully detained by the cops. Like, I got called the N-word last year at my show. Like there's Whoa. Certain things Whoa. I'm talking about in this special that are so specific to me. That's why it's called Jared. Nobody could do it but me. So,
yeah, well, that's so interesting, and I wanted to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not glad it happened, but you had a terrible run-in with the LAPD in 2020, which is sadly, not a unique experience in the Black community, and you had a rough experience about that. So I'm going to ask you, like, you tour a lot as well. You go all over this country and perform. Do you see out there in this country... does it worry you, or do you feel like, most people just kind of want to laugh, or is it somewhere in between?
Of course, what's going on, of course I watch the news and I see everything forming. I see what's happening. I see Elon Musk and friggin' Bill Gates buying farmland and shit. I see all of these things. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's my job as a comedian, with the pain that I've gone through, to not make it painful, to make you laugh about it.
Right.
So I just feel like it's an opportunity right now, whatever happens bad, for somebody with this artistic platform to flip it and flip it positive and make people laugh about it. And sadly, the truth, as much as it hurts, is the thing that makes everybody fall out of their seats. Mm-hmm. So with the story, with talking about it, with everything, with all of the Black folks in this country that have gone through those similar things, man, or that have gone through that and not been able to make it out of, I feel like I have an opportunity to make light of that subject, make it funnier than it's being presented ubiquitously. You understand? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yes. I think I've done a good job, and that goes for any topic, anything that's out there that's uncomfortable to watch. I feel like as comedians, we're supposed to take those opportunities and we're supposed to flip them and we're supposed to make you laugh about it so that it's more consumable, so that it doesn't taste as bad. It's seasoned up. It's still shit, but it's gourmet shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You want to hear it.
It's shit out of somebody Jamaican's house who can really cook. You know what I mean? You didn't know it was shit. You was
jerk
eating
shit.
It. You was like, damn, that's the best shit I ever had in my life. This shit is delicious. What you got? You put some oxtails in that shit? That shit is great. You know what I mean?
JC, did you say jerk shit?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's funny.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I feel like any tragedy that happens to me or happens out in the world, I feel like, it is scary, but how exciting is it for somebody who can get on that stage and does have that art form to find the funny in it and make a classic bit?
Quickly are you able to do? I mean, when that happens to you, like, how soon do you start even considering doing that? I mean, is it like right after you have this adrenaline rush and you're like, I got to get this out there? Are you like, do you need time to emotionally kind of work through it and then go, now I have enough distance that I feel like I can talk about it without just getting, overly emotional?
I mean, I feel like for me, it was after the rage and everything left. And it's still, of course, you're still a little mad about it.
Rage is a
rage. I think after about a month, after all the interviews, after Gayle King was staring me in my face and asking me all these questions, I think once all of that subsided, all of that went away, I think I could sit and get back to being a comedian with it. And so after a month, I was on stage trying to work that thing out, man. I was really trying to work. When we got back on stage, which was that fall. So, but I was already crafting it. I was in my house writing and crafting it. Like, I have to talk about this. And if anything bad happens to me, it usually will take some time for you to process it. But once the processing phase is over, I mean, it's just artistic material after that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a great question, Goldie, and a thoughtful answer. Now, and this is sort of correlated, and I feel like it sounds like a softball setup for some of your impressions, but it really isn't. It's a legitimate question. After the Will Smith Chris Rock incident happened at the Oscars, like, I noticed right after that Chris Rock's first show after that was in Boston, and I was here. And I was saying to my wife, I'm like, oh my God, we got to get tickets. And my wife's like, I don't think he's going to talk about it. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's the fucking GOAT comic. Of course he's going to talk. Of course he's going to talk about it. So, of course, the first thing he came out on stage and said was, I'm not talking about it. And then he saved it. He saved it a year for his special. And to me, of course, I was disappointed in that moment. But I also felt like he sort of owed it to fans to be out there with it quicker. Do you think that was something as a comic that he should have come back a little sooner and made his jokes, or because you know he had them?
I feel like because he was the one that it happened to, I feel like the world was ready to hear what he was going to say as soon as he decided that he wanted to talk about it. I mean, of course, like you're saying, it happened. You want it to instantaneously be talked about. I mean, shit, I had a sketch that night. My friend hit me. My boy hit me up that night. It was like, hey, man, did you see it? I said, see what? He was like, the smack. I said, who smacked who? I said, that shit ain't real. And then I was like, when he was like, keep my wife's name out your effort. When he said that, I was like, oh, that's Willie from Philly. He not playing. that ain't getting jiggy with it, Will. That's Will that just had 5 cheesesteaks and like was like, yo, I like, I'm back home. I'll smack you. You know, that was Meek Mill. He was Meek Mill that night. He turned into Meek Mill.
Yeah, the mask.
He
came
went
off.
Gangster. So it's like, whenever Chris is ready to talk about that, man, he had a right to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I personally feel the way he beautifully did it in a special, because he teased it like every 7 minutes, he teased it like he was going to talk about it. And then he finally at the end, bam, attacked it. And so I think he did a great job, man. When something bad does happen like that, like, hey, the thing with the cops, even though it did happen in 2020, people are like, yo, that shit happened to you, man. How do you feel? And I could be like, this is how I felt about it. But if it happens directly to you, I think the world, whenever that person decides that they want to speak about it, I think the world will be ready for it. So I don't think it took too long because it was him. I mean, you watch Marlon's special. Marlon talked about the slap for 45 minutes. I said, good God, that's bold as hell. You didn't even get smacked. I feel like Marlon should get smacked now. Somebody should smack Marlon. Somebody just walk up, backhand, just open. Not backhand. Just use the dark skin part. You know what I mean? Just smack him. Just pow. You know, good job on your special, son.
That's a fitting reply. So now you got the special coming out. Is there anything else coming up that you want to mention on here? Not that we have this huge listener base, but you know,
working on it.
When Family Guy comes back, I'll be back on Family Guy. Hopefully, go down to the offices. I can't. Damn, it's so much. It's so much I want to talk about. I know I have two. I've got two films that are in the can.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
But what can we do, man? We can't really. There's not a lot that we can do. Hopefully, this writer strike, it accelerates. But you know, it accelerates to an ending. But I feel like the studios are on some real shiesty type shit where they're like, we're trying to bleed everybody's pockets until they're forced to come back. They're forced to come back and suck us off. So that's, I feel like that's how they're kind of trotting everything out right now, man. And I'm not getting on my knees. I'm not doing that. So we gotta, something has to happen. Something has to happen, bro.
That's very well said. And I think it will happen soon. But Jay, you know, we cannot thank you enough, A, for coming on Family Guy and making us laugh, and B, for coming on our little podcast and making us laugh even harder. We know you're busy. We know you have a lot of shit you're doing. So we appreciate your time, Jay Farrow. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Thank you all.
If you need to escape that mosquito, you text me. I'll send someone there to kill it, and then you can come out.
Please have them call the front, because this door is still closed. I am a prisoner to my own room because of the insect that is literally not even 2 centimeters long.
I know those.
Oh, God. It's insane. Oh. I felt like Samuel L. Jackson last night. I said, I'm gonna kill this bitch. Like I felt like that. I'm gonna kill this bitch today, and when I do, I'm gonna send y'all all the picture in a group text, and I'm just gonna be on my hand. And I'm
going to
be like, this was not my blood. This was somebody else's blood. It didn't bite me. Okay. Yes, I didn't get assaulted today. I did not.
Right. There will be blood.
We're all rooting for that. And also remember that mosquitoes only live about a day. So this podcast may have killed them.
I've only got 18 hours left. Yeah, let's go.
All right, Jay. Thanks again.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Much. We'll see you at work.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. For sure.
Bye, Jay.
All right, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Oh God, how funny is Jay Farrow? Jeez,
oh my God,
what an assault of comedy!
I hope
really
he gets that
funny.
Mosquito.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, he probably has by now. All right, well now it's time to get to a portion of our show we like to call Top Five.
Top Five.
Oh, beautiful JC, this was your topic. Tell the folks what we're top fiving about today. By the way, before you say that, I realize we made a huge error at the beginning of this, because a lot of people do top fives. We should have done top sixes, and we could have called it 666. But that's, you know what? We blew it 2 years ago. Go ahead, JC. What's your category?
What? I don't understand.
We could have done top sixes.
Yeah, or
top five.
Seven. Or top
no,
eight.
Six, because then you call
top
it 666.
Top three.
666.
Top
like
one.
The devil.
Just
like
name
the devil.
One.
Okay.
Top
name one thing.
666 is a thing.
Top zero. Let's just do nothing. None of it matters.
Okay, good. JC,
okay,
go ahead.
Top five, not
so
six.
You almost said six.
reboots. And I said with a twist, but I mean, wouldn't every reboot have
we
a
got
twist?
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Slow start. Number five, I'd reboot Veronica Mars, starring not a blonde, who I love her, because Rob Thomas, who's a creator, all his shows kind of star like a spunky blonde girl,
right,
who I
right.
end up loving. I love all of his lead characters, but this one would star Jenna Ortega. So I don't know. Ooh. That's the slow start here. Number four, I would reboot Firefly, which, have you seen that, Alec? Because that's considered a space western.
I know. I haven't. I've a lot of people told me that's the Nathan Fillion show, right?
Yeah. Joss Whedon and created it. And
no, I haven't seen it.
I would reboot that. I don't even know if it would need a twist, but on a streamer, it would probably do better. It would probably get more support, just sort of like Seth's show, The Orville.
A space Eastern?
Ooh.
There you go. You
like,
run with that.
Hey,
you said it.
Okay. Number three, I would reboot, and it's already been done, but they've tried to reboot this, but I would reboot Fantasy Island.
Yeah, now we're talking.
It would be like a mini series, sort of like American Horror Story, how he has those with different themes, but it wouldn't lean on the horror and fantasy. It would lean on the original premise, which was like, be careful what you wish for. Oh,
let me add a twist to this, because I like where this is going.
Okay.
Tattoo has murdered Rourke.
Ooh. And he is now the one
yes.
who's... Ooh, I love
does he,
this.
Does he like wear stilts, or is he just tattoo?
No, he's tattoo.
Okay.
Is it like Peter Dinklage? Because he's like someone that I would be kind of...
I don't know.
Fear a little.
I don't know the politics around this.
okay.
I don't know who Tattoo is, whether you film someone on a green screen and then shrink them or what. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, no. Now Tattoo's really tall. Oh,
that's
you've solved
twist.
It. That's so.
Twist.
Yeah, wow.
All right. My number 2, these could be in any order, really, except for number 1. Number 2, I would reboot a version of Gilligan's Island, except that it's more of a fake Survivor type show. Like, it's scripted, but it's sort of like Survivor. Good. And then each season would have a different set of survivors. And the pilot would be directed by J.J. Abrams.
Just to guarantee they don't know where they're going.
But it's like so good that you have to watch and then you just kind of...
Yeah. All right. Now I'm stealing from my own idea about Tattoo.
Oh, yes.
But Gilligan has beaten Skipper to death with Skipper's hat. And then he's bashed in his head with a coconut.
I'm watching.
And now they're on this island, but Gilligan's a murderer.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. And they're skipperless.
And that's the arc of the entire first season.
Yeah, they realize
it's
taken a turn and it's now Lord of the Flies. And Gilligan's lost his mind like Heart of Darkness. Yeah. And he's taken an island bride, and there's a Moreau's Island element to it.
I love it.
Island Bride every season.
By the way, I love Moreau's Island. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But I think about Moreau's Island. That's my Back to the Future. I think about Moreau's Island all the time.
Wow. I should watch
it. It's not even that good. I just think it's fascinating.
Wait, no, who's in that?
It was Brando and Val Kilmer.
And a lot of weirdos. Yeah, I remember now.
I don't think I've ever worked at a place that I didn't derogatorily refer to it as Moreau's Island. Anyway.
Okay. Fine. Number 1 is a show that was called Night Music. It was on Sunday nights. Hal Wildner was the executive producer.
Reliable.
Yes, but it was like a genius show that brought on musicians that were like legends of jazz and cutting edge music at the time. And he would put together acts and have them perform together. And there were interviews. And I guess like my twist would be they had these vintage clips that they would play from jazz back in the day. Mm-hmm. I guess my twist would be the vintage clips would be from the original show. I would like to host it with somebody else.
maybe Stu.
Stu would probably be in the house band, and it would be like a rolling house band, depending on who's on tour and who's not. And it would be on a streamer, so we'd have time to produce it, as opposed to like always be like stressing about who we could get on the show and house band.
I love it, love it. Awesome. Good list, Goldie. What do you got?
Okay. So here are the shows I'd reboot with a twist. The first, number 5, is the show Benson. The governor character would be more of a Trumpy kind of disaster rather than a stooge.
Right.
And he would have an agenda that was crazy and sometimes evil, and the staff would be scrambling to pretend to implement it while also saving the state or country.
I love that.
Love
That's
that.
Great.
Number 4 would be the show Dallas, which they did bring back, not well, because it was one of my favorite shows. Yeah. But I would integrate the idea of like a clean energy boom as competition.
They were
in petroleum and locked in the oil.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
And that they were now dealing with competition from wind, solar, et cetera, and that the whole thing is becoming techified as opposed to wildcatting.
That's good.
Cool.
The number 3 show is Friends, and here would be my twist, is that the cast of the original show was that their lives had gone so badly after the show that they are now actually, as 50-year-olds, forced to move in together into a place and live in a real sense and not the show sense that they had previously lived in.
Great.
So it's like the person who it's like they had a kid and the kid got addicted to drugs and maybe they committed, but they lost everything trying to like preserve their kid's life. And then someone who married, you know, some sort of prince who turned out to be a fraud and stole all her money.
Right.
Wow.
One guy who just got addicted to drugs, whatever. You see where I'm going.
Yeah. Wow, would it be sort of like a Golden Girls thing?
Well, that's my number two idea, which I've already pitched on this show before, which is that the Golden Girls with an African-American cast, and you just get Wanda Sykes, Lonnie Love. And you just make their kids a little more of an element, that they moved away thinking they were getting this great retirement.
Yes.
But their kids are a little more in their lives.
Love it.
Than they thought. That should just be done.
Yeah. Like,
love it. Yes.
That should be a show.
That's your show.
That's real.
And the number one show with a twist is I would do The Cosby Show. But now, knowing what we know about
him. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a huge twist. Put the twist in the drink.
Yeah, the twist is just like, oh, you were this authority, and now we know you did this.
Oh,
doctor.
Like, and
doctor,
yeah, and all the lessons we learned from you.
Were
they even real?
Those are great. Well, the Golden Girls is the one that has a real shot, but those are all very funny.
I know. I thought you would have your Love Boat on there. And
well, let's wait now.
Yeah.
Oh. Number five for me is Mary Tyler Moore at Fox News.
Oh,
I think you
wow.
just
That's
have
good.
Like that harried, you know, sort of lovable central character, but surrounded by like despicable yes. people. And
well,
some of the characters.
We should just write that.
Yeah.
when we're allowed.
When we're allowed. Not now.
Yeah.
Number four is solid platinum, like solid gold.
Ooh.
Solid platinum. You have dance interpretation of the top 10 hits. I always felt like solid gold, the show, just brought me closer to pop music. So
yeah. Is platinum like... better than gold?
Yes.
Why? Yes. Gold
more,
should be the best. It's confusing.
It's a more scarce element or whatever the fuck it is. Anyway, I don't want to get into the science of it because I can't.
That's
number
fine.
Three. Number three is The Love Boat, but with SpaceX trips to Mars. So it's sort of like the same thing. You get the same, you
That's
know, people,
great.
People boarding at the beginning and, you know, whatever the hell happens. Number two, and I feel like this joke has been made before, but I actually think that there's a lot to it, would be The X-Files, but it's EX. Mm. So Scully and Mulder have been married and divorced.
Oh, my God.
And they have a son and a daughter who are like them. But the son is like Scully. The son is of science.
Oh.
The daughter's like Mulder, who's like a dreamer. And
wait, this is great.
Mulder is still a field agent, so he's out on cases with them. And Scully is now deputy director of the FBI.
It's perfect. I would watch that.
Yeah. And number one, this is just for Goldie. It needs no explanation. The B Team.
That's perfect.
That's
because they would suck. Well, that was a fun
It's
list.
Also like the longer narration of the opening credits is
yes. You, yes.
What was theirs? What was
like it was like if you can, you know, if you've got a job and you can find them, maybe you can hire the A Team.
Wow.
Now say that you can't hire the A Team because they are very busy, and they're booked out till next September.
Yeah.
Well, then, in that case, there is a team.
B Team. Not quite as good. All right, that was a fun top five. And now, so it's
cool.
Mine next week. And mine is pretty broad. Mine is top five monologues of all time.
Okay.
Top five monologues could be TV, could be movie, could be a play, whatever the fuck you want. Top five monologues.
Okay.
All right. So we'll do that next week. And now we'll get into a portion of the show we like to call High Note. Thank you, Tom and Max. That's beautiful, beautiful, and so long. My high note quickly is Cape Cod. I'm just, when you fans, friends are listening to this, I will be back in California after 3+ years on Cape Cod. I've loved 80% of the minutes here, which is far higher than anywhere else on earth. So, thank you, Cape Cod. I love you. And I will be back as soon as possible.
Oh, that's sad.
Congrats. You just told the Cape Cod bling ring to rob your house. can I go?
Yeah, please.
So my high note is live theater. I saw a production of Peter Pan Goes Wrong this week.
Oh, yeah, I heard that was good.
I laughed and laughed and laughed. Aww. The cast was great. the once it got rolling, it was really, really funny and well done. And just it's always so impressive to see, you know, especially a farce, which requires such impeccable timing, just like pulled off for a matinee crowd, which, you know,
yeah,
they're rough. Not so psyched.
Is it a musical?
No, there's a musical number, but it really is. It's just a farce production.
Okay,
great.
And it's really worth seeing, particularly if you have kids. There's a very funny thing. I'm not spoiling anything, but where they intentionally antagonize all the children in the audience and get them riled up and tell the parents they're bad kids and that they should get them out of there. And the kids just start booing and going crazy. And then they double down and say, look at how awful these children are. Which, of course, being there with a kid, I love that they did that.
Yeah, right.
That's great.
Awesome. Let's see. My high note is, you know, when doing this top five research and I was thinking about Night Music, I started thinking about Hal. I was doing a deep dive on these shows and I was so lucky to be able to know him and work with him. And he was just an absolute creative genius. And I don't know if he really does get the credit that he deserves. And people who know, but...
You're talking about Hal Willner.
Yeah, sorry, Hal Willner, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a very unique person. We shared a computer and a desk, and it was I learned a lot. He was an incredible human.
Rest in peace, Hal Willner. Yes. All right, that was a very nice high note. What a fun episode with Jay Farrow. JC, thanks for that top five. That was fun. Goldie, hilarious rants as usual. And thank you all for listening. Thank you two for being awesome. And we will talk to you again next week.
Never.
That was fun.
And it stops right now.
That's a good God.